time for week two of Money May. Every Friday in May, you'll be getting some top tips on how to manage your money from our resident money man, Dave Penny. That is his real name. He's the managing director of Invest Southwest. They're a firm of independent financial advisors in the county. Now, Dave is making sure you know how to make sure you've got the most of your cash, basically, and how you might be able to get a little bit more as well. Well, last week we talked about money basics, and still to come this month, we're going to cover pensions and making and saving money. But today we talk mortgages and equity release. Morning, Dave.
Morning, Emma.
Now, mortgages. There'll be many people listening this morning who may not have one. Lucky devils. Mm. So equity release might be more relevant to them. But there will be people listening who are still paying off a mortgage or who might be coming to the end of a special deal on their mortgage or might even be thinking of moving. The mortgage world has changed, hasn't it? I found this out a year ago when we moved.
Yes, the mortgage world has changed. Obviously, 3 or 4 years ago, there's a big change in the world, which had an effect on credit, and that's now fed through into the way that the lenders are behaving. Mm. And there's a variety of things which, if you're on a five-year fixed and you haven't looked at things for a while, will be different now when you go back to your lender than when they were 5 years ago or 4 years ago.
They used to do this weird thing where they add your two incomes together and multiply it by a funny number.
Yes, a kind of rule of thumb would have been perhaps four times the main income plus the other, or some combination, some income multiple calculation. That really, although some lenders do publish it, is out the window. All lenders now have to do an affordability calculation. So back in the day, four times my income plus my partner's income, that's what I can borrow. But I have five children, two personal loans, and I can't actually afford it. So it makes sense to have an affordability calculator.
But it does mean they scrutinise your finances a little closer.
Yeah, and it means it's difficult for you to know when you're searching around actually what you can borrow, because you'll go to a lender and they'll say, oh, actually, no, we can lend you less than that or more than that. You just have to dip your toe in the water and go to a lender and see what they will give you.
Okay. Who comes off the worst out of this? I mean, as being a self-employed person previously, in a previous life, I always found it very hard when I was self-employed because you spend the vast majority of your life trying to make your profits look as small as possible so that you pay less tax, all above board, by the way. But at the same time, when it comes to wanting a mortgage, it looks as though you don't earn enough money.
Indeed. It's business owners, self-employed people. Back in the day, you used to be able to tell the lender what the equivalent of what you earned, a self-certified mortgage, otherwise known as...
I had one of those.
Yeah, otherwise known as a liar's loan, Emma.
It was, no. And we didn't lie, though, I hasten
of
to add.
Of course not, no.
Because both John and I being self-employed, what is the point? Because you've got to pay it back.
Yeah.
But we had a self-certified mortgage. It was the only way we could get our first
Indeed.
Mortgage.
And it makes sense. Lots of people are paid by the repayment of a loan from the business, something which you can't consider to be income, but actually is money coming in and allows you to afford them all. So there was some sense in that, but those self-certified mortgages now are finished. You can't do it. If you're a self-employed person, you have to, most of the time, submit 2 or 3 years audited books by an accountant. So go back 2 or 3 years of completed business before you can use that as a calculation for what you can earn. Think about someone who's employed. If they've been in a job for 3 months, the lender will allow them to use that income. So
yeah.
If you're self-employed or you're a business owner, then the self-certification is finished and they have to have 2 or 3 years books, which really does hamper a lot of people. And people coming off fixed rates now or special deals who are self-employed business owners are finding themselves in trouble.
Speaking of which, there's been a bit of stuff in the news recently about lenders' standard variable rate being, you know, a little bit higher than you might expect. And some people panicking a little bit if they're coming off of the end of a mortgage deal.
Yes.
I'm halfway through a 2-year fixed at the moment.
Yes.
Should people be worried about coming out of deals?
The standard variable rates, the SVRs, have increased. The banks have been looking to increase their margins. The Bank of England base rate has stayed flat for 3 or more years, but the bank base rates of the individual building societies and banks has gone up as they're trying to increase their margins. So that's a problem. Halifax have recently been in the press twice for doing this, and they've got up to about 4% now with their SVR. In terms of what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years, first to say no one knows, no one's got a crystal ball, I'm not Mystic Meg, but the belief is that because the economic situation is quite poor, the rates will remain low, they'll have to remain low to try and stimulate the economy. So probably you shouldn't be too concerned about your standard variable rate going through the roof in the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm.
So if you come off a deal, and lots of folks will find they can't get a deal elsewhere, they're on an interest-only mortgage, or they were self-cert, or their income now doesn't stack up, and they have to go on the SVR, it shouldn't be too catastrophic for you in the short term.
What's the best thing to do if you are looking to change a mortgage or to start a mortgage? Is it to get, as you mentioned last week about financial advice, whole of the market advice?
Absolutely, always, whatever you're doing financially, to go to one provider and hope to goodness that they have the best product, it's pretty unlikely that's going to be the case. So always shop around, yes. If you can do it from the whole of the market, yes, absolutely. With mortgages, if you do move from lender A to lender B, you're going to incur costs. You're likely to incur a surveyor's cost, arrangement fees, a conveyancer, solicitor's fees, perhaps even an advisor who helps you. And that could be, you know, £1,000 or £2,000. So I would suggest the first place to always look is to your current lender. See what deals are available. See how attractive that looks, because they won't charge you all of those big legal fees and so on. Mm. But yes, always do compare it with the market.
Okay, well, listen, coming up, Dave's going to talk to us about equity release. Now, this is something you may have questions on, or if you have a mortgage question. Dave's prepared to take your questions here this morning. We obviously can't give, you know, specific personal advice, but we can talk generally. So here's how you get in touch: 0845 303 1566. You can text 81333. Start your message with the word Somerset. Now, before we start talking about equity release in just a few moments, just sum up equity release for us, Dave, just in one sentence. What does it mean?
Equity release is basically a loan against the value of your property, which you do not repay until you die or go into care.
Okay, we're going to be talking about equity release. I can't even say it. Next on BBC Somerset. Just gone 20 past 11. Emma Britton with you until 12 o'clock today. We're in the middle of Money May, week two of Money May. Every Friday this month, we're getting top tips on how to manage your money from Dave Penny. And today we're talking about mortgages and equity release. Dave, I'm not sure I understand equity release. So you told us before we heard from Jason Mraz, it's a loan against the value of your property, which you don't repay until you pass away.
Correct.
Okay. How popular is it?
It's probably more popular than it should be. It's a very appropriate product for certain people.
Okay.
It's becoming more and more popular because of the change in way the care system is working and the way that local authorities are not really funding things. But I guess the unique property of an equity release product is, well, a mortgage is a mortgage, isn't it? But a mortgage, you pay the interest and you pay the capital on a month-to-month basis.
Yeah.
The equity release, you don't. It rolls up onto the loan. So if you borrow £100,000, and that's £6,000 of interest in the first year, then your loan next year is £106,000, and then it compounds up, and the loan increases rather than you paying anything. So if you're usually retired, usually elderly, and you need some money for some purpose, but you don't have a budget for it, then this allows you to release some money without having to pay for it until such time as you leave the house to go into care or die.
And so there must be like a limit then on what you can release, because otherwise then if you last forever,
yes,
then what you owe could end up being more than what your house is worth.
If you, as is recommended, you do this through SHIP authorised firms, SHIP authorised firms, which is Safe Home Income Plan subscribers, then they promise that you will never owe more than the value of your house. And back in the day, there were some cases where people were landed with debt and it was fairly horrible. There's some high interest rates.
Because the family would be left with that.
Yes. And they're also very cautious now about what they will lend. I did some research before I came here this morning to look at the current rates. And for a 250k house, for a 65-year-old single man, then typically speaking, the lenders would release £70,000. That's the maximum. If you have ill health, then, and your life expectancy is shorter, they might release some more, up to about £90,000. But there's plenty of leeway in a 250k house to make sure that there's equity left when you leave the property.
So when is it a good idea to look at equity release?
It's appropriate, and particularly growing in right now the marketplace, is where if you need to have care and you're considering going into a home, the local authority, for whatever reason, aren't going to pay that £33,000 a year cost on average. And lots of folks now are deciding to stay in their home and to get care whilst they are in their own home. Someone comes in one, two, three times a day. It's considerably cheaper than £33,000 a year. If they haven't got the money for it, you release a lump sum or some income from your house, and that pays for it. So it's cheaper and it saves money in the long run. And of course, for elderly people who are infirm, it's quite a stressful thing to do to leave home. Mm. I think there must be cases where people have had a longer life because they've not had the awful stress of having to leave their house to go into care.
Another example would be medical costs, I suppose, if you had to pay for something.
Medical costs. I mean, the simple fact is that nowadays pensioners have been hard hit by inflation, some finding it hard to literally make their pensions go where they need to go. So you can release some equity to give you additional income on a daily basis.
When would it not be appropriate to do equity release then?
Well, for frivolous purposes, I think I would say.
I fancy a round the world cruise.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, if that's what you really want to do, well, that's fine. I think what an advisor will do when looking at equity release is explore all other options. Equity release should be considered to be a perfectly good solution, but the last one in the chain of things you consider. Lots of people have a house which is too big for them in retirement, so they should consider downsizing. Sell your house, take the money out of the house that way, and not have interest rolling up on a loan. Other ways you can do it is I have had people come to me looking for equity release where they've got actually the money in savings, but they're just cautious, they don't want to touch the savings. Well, my advice usually is, use your savings. When that's run out, come back to me and we'll do the equity release and you might save yourself 2 or 3 years of interest. Sometimes there are state benefits available, so explore that fully first rather than spend your own money.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I've seen people on looking at it think, actually, I could just go and get a part-time job and I could fill in the gap in my income that way. Why haven't I thought of that?
Mm.
As we discussed, if it's a frivolous thing like a holiday which you don't really need, and you look at how an equity release loan typically doubles. If you borrow £100,000, then in about 11, 12 years' time, you'll owe £200,000. So it does roll up. It can be quite big.
Yeah.
The average loan doesn't last that long, but it's something worth avoiding if there are other alternatives.
Okay. And obviously, what people might not be aware of, it costs you, doesn't it? So you've not only got the interest that you have to pay, but you pay to arrange this as well.
You do. And I would say that between £1,500 and £2,000 would be the setting up costs, including legal fees and valuation. Advisors fees, that kind of thing. So it's not a thing that you should approach lightly. It's something you should take advice on. This, more than anything else, I think it's critical you take advice upon it. If you just, as I said last week, you Google it and you find the person that's top, that firm will be selling their product and trying to get you to do as big an equity release product as you can.
Yeah.
Actually, an advisor will do the opposite. He'll be trying to work to get you to not do it at all, or to do as smaller an equity release mortgage as you can.
And the one that you mentioned, the ship protected, that's sort of like a safeguard, yeah?
Yes, it's an affiliation of reputable lenders.
Okay.
So your lender should always be ship authorised.
Okay, very, very interesting. All right, so equity release there, that might have given you some food for thought. And if you have any questions, Dave's off in a second, but you can always get in touch with us and I can send those questions on to Dave with regards to equity release. So we've covered mortgages today and releasing some equity in your home. You, Dave, though, have mentioned to me before that people shouldn't get quite so hung up on property. Is that right? Because we all get a bit, you know, overexcited about, you know, owning our own home and our home is going to be our plan for the future and things like that.
I was a fairly lone voice in the noughties saying this is that property prices is a bubble, it's a bit crazy. And I think now the world is coming round to that way of thinking, that property is a safe asset class. It had a bubble, the bubble has burst. It's gone backwards in absolute terms and in real terms. And it will return now, because the lenders won't lend stupidly as they have in the past. It will return to a safe, sensible asset class. The only place you can make money is not property. So don't think of that. And even the property celebrity shows now are being much more realistic about that. So it's an asset class. It's a place where you live. Don't think it's the goose that lays the golden egg.
Very interesting. Next week, Dave's going to be here when Vernon's sitting in for me. And you're going to be talking all about pensions. Always a topic.
How exciting.
That gets people going. Dave doesn't think pensions is exciting, but believe you me, many people would. Dave, thank you very much. That's Dave Penny, Managing Director of Invest Southwest. They're a firm of independent financial advisors here in the county.